today as we come to the table.
The word of God should be strengthening you. The ministry of the Spirit should be strengthening you. That's legitimate and that's a good thing, and that's why you're here. You're getting fed. You should grow. The word of God feeds you and you get stronger and stronger. But at some point, that food should transform into assimilation in who you are and say, now I want to strengthen others. And that's the true disciple. That's the growth in the life. You begin to look for people you can greet. You remember when you first go to church and, wow, nobody said hi to me. My feelings are hurt, right? And then you come back and go, I'm not going to wait for somebody to say hi. I'm going to find somebody to say hi to. That's the difference in maturity. See, you begin to look at things differently. Well, I'm not here just to get ministered to. I'm here to minister.
You know, one can imagine what it's like to be a king on some remote island somewhere. Servants everywhere, some bringing you food, some waving palm branches over you to keep you cool. All day long, you just do whatever you want. And your servants are there to wait on you hand and foot. A life in the lap of luxury. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today in his message, Pastor Mark shares with you that being part of the body of the church isn't about what the church can do for you, but what you can do for Christ. The church isn't about consumerism, but it's about believers in Jesus coming together, serving each other, and worshiping God together. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 16, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes you think the ministry that you're investing in is not paying off. I did youth group ministry for quite a few years before God called us to Knoxville, and then we planted the church here. But I used to think, are these kids getting anything? Is it really going into their hearts and their minds? And I knew to some degree it was. And again, you just know mentally the word of God's going to have power. But it was so exciting to see years later, I began to get these phone calls about thanking me about what I'd poured into them during those years and even asking me to come out and do more than one wedding for them and these kind of things. So again, when you make that investment, it's an investment for a lifetime and an eternity. And so this is what Paul now is going to engage in with Timothy. He no doubt had many disciples that he discipled and raised, but at the same time, his main one, of course, was Timothy. And so now we see this as we jump into Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 1 with that background. They're out on their second missionary journey. They've taken off, and notice it says, then he came to Derbe and Lystria, to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, note that, but his father was a Greek. And the way the construction is in the language and the implication is that mom was saved and dad wasn't. And I believe that's probably the case because we're going to find out in just a moment, Timothy was not circumcised. And again, having a mother who was Jewish and living in that culture in that day, to not be circumcised was like the worst thing in the world. I mean, that was basically saying you're denouncing, in a sense, your Jewishness, if you will. That would have never happened had there not been a parent in the family who made a strong stand and said, you know what, you're not going to do that to my son or whatever the case might be. And so I think this is a strong indication here that he didn't know the Lord. Now, again, many years had gone by since Paul had been here. And, some say they did their calculations. It may have been as much as 4 or 5 years since the last time Paul was there. And so as Paul is anxious to get back and see what's going on, you can imagine he's wondering, are the churches surviving? Are the churches even thriving in this whole setup, if you will? And to get back there and to find out they're not only surviving, they are thriving. You'll see Antioch, that's where the church was based, and that's where Paul was based out of. And then they're traveling up there to past Tarsus, which was his hometown, up to Derbe, and then Lystra, and then Iconium will come into this message as well. So that whole region is where we're going to be talking about today as we see what's going on where Timothy is from. But Timothy was from specifically that place there called Lystra. And so to go back and to find that the church is thriving and that there are disciples that are growing and being used, that would have been thrilling to Paul. That would have been his phone call. Hey, thank you for all you poured into me. That would have been the thing. God, it was worth it. All the investment that I made paid off. And it wasn't just any ordinary guy. Timothy is rather the extraordinary individual. And by the way, guys, all it takes is one person to really light fire that you invest into to make a huge impact in the world. You think about it. Jesus started with 12 guys. Now, I know that it grew from there, but it was 12 people that he started. One of them betrayed. So you could even knock it down to 11. And it was at those 11, that was the foundation of what changed the entire world and to why we're here today. So don't think that your investment, even in just a few people, is not going to pay off. And again, this paid off hugely here for Paul in investing in Timothy. And again, not only thriving, but again, just on fire for the Lord. This is the Timothy where Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy, explaining the role of a pastor. And again, we still look to that today as pastors, as to what is a pastor to do, how is a pastor to be. And so again, just a tremendous ministry that God gave to Timothy and the connection they had. Now, Lystra, again, not only the town that Timothy was from, but Lystra was the town where Paul was stoned to death. Again, most believe he was stoned to death and resurrected, whether or not he was just wiped out and God brought him and healed him or whatever. But he had the vision in heaven during this time. And again, remember what happened was he got up and he goes back into the town. And that's the town where Timothy was. So imagine the impact that had on Timothy. I think about Timothy there and this guy comes back and he already probably had admiration for Paul, God drawing him in at this point. And he's like seeing this guy. Now they think he's dead. He comes back in the town alive and they're ministering to him again. And so no doubt he definitely had Timothy's attention saying, wow, what a man this is for God. I want to be that kind of man. And so walking by the Spirit has that kind of impact on people's lives. Now, again, we don't know exactly how old he was at this time. Most believe when 1st and 2nd Timothy were written that Timothy was somewhere around 30 years old. So if you backtrack and do the calculations, that means that probably he was somewhere around 18 years old at this time. So he's very young, but he's a man. He's ready to head out to serve God, to do what God's called him to do. He's on fire for the Lord. And again, he's got some issues that he's going to have to deal with before he's going to be ready fully for ministry. Again, as we said, he had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. And again, I want to say this with the Greek father, again, appearing not to be a believer here. This is an encouragement to those of you that maybe don't have a spouse that knows the Lord, or you know someone that has one person that knows the Lord and the other one doesn't know the Lord. I want you to know this. If you're in that type of situation or you know someone in that type of situation, does not mean that those kids cannot turn out to be Timothy's. This is one where one parent was there pouring into this child and Timothy becomes a mighty man of God that was used by God in tremendous ways in that day. And by the way, is still being used today just by his testimony through Paul and the letters that Paul wrote to him. And so I want to encourage you, if you're the only one in the family that knows the Lord, invest in your child. I love it because it tells us in 1 Timothy later on that it was his grandmother Lois who also knew the Lord and his mother Eunice, again, who knew the Lord, the saved mother that was pouring into him. And again, so they had kind of a tag team thing going on here. And I love that. It's not just the initial parents that were going in this, but it was also the grandparents. And what a blessing it is for those of you who know the Lord and the grandparents know the Lord and you can tag team on these little ones. That's such a blessing. But some of you may be sitting here going, look, I don't have that. I don't even have anyone else in the family but me that knows the Lord. Then you invest in that child. You pour your life into them. Guys, I want you to know something. Timothy's are not built by bringing them to church on Sunday. Timothy's are built at home. Timothy's are built by dads and moms who get into the Word of God with their children every day and pray with their children every day. That's where Timothy's are built. Now, you may not want a Timothy, but if you want one, that's what you're going to have to do to get him. You've got to invest in them, but the investment is worth it. The Bible talks about it's like an arrow that you shoot that hits its mark. When they hit their age and they go out on their own, they've got a purpose, they've got a direction, and bammo, they hit their mark and they're used in great ways for God. And by the way, lest you think, well, I don't know, I don't seem to have time for that. You know who benefits from all the fruit that child creates? You do. That goes to your account in heaven. So you're not just investing in your child, which should be enough motivation alone. You're also investing in what God has for you in the coming kingdom for all eternity. So it's worth the investment. Look, it's great to bring them to church. Bringing them to church, that's a supplement. Okay, that's the icing on the cake. The church, these are your vitamins, right? But they get their meal at home. Now, I'm not saying that Sunday morning should not be a meal and Wednesday night should not be a meal when you're getting in the Word of God. It should be. We should be getting fed the Word of God and we should be eating meat. That's part of it. But at the same time, that's only a couple of days a week. And you got to remember, there's 7 total. So it's really the main responsibility falls on mom and dad to be able to do that. And dad didn't do it, probably, from what it appears here in the scripture. But mom Eunice did, and grandmother Lois, they were tag teaming. And what a blessing it was to see how he turned out in this particular situation. It also shows what a perfect choice he was by the Holy Spirit to bring to Paul. Because remember, Paul was well-cultured in the Greek culture and the Jewish culture. And God had called him to reach both. Yes, primarily the Gentiles in the long term, but the Jews first. The same thing with Timothy. Timothy had a Greek father, a Gentile dad, and a Jewish mom. So he had both worlds right there in his home. And normally that was not the most ideal, but God can use it. And God did use it in Timothy's life in a great way. And so if you've been raised in a home that maybe had some bad influence and you wish it hadn't been there, and I'm not saying it's a good thing. It wasn't good that it was there. But you know what? If you turn it over to the Lord and you turn away from it, God can use that to help you reach other people that are in that part of the world and lost in that way. God will use every bit of it for his glory. And that's what God is doing here in Timothy. And so notice in verse 2, it says he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And so again, this is interesting to me because notice it's the brethren speaking well of him. The word speaking well of comes in a tense in the language that means over and over and over. It's the imperfect tense, which means every time people talk about Timothy, they kept saying, this guy's the best. And then this guy's on fire. This guy's going for it. This guy, whatever. So he had a reputation, but notice, it wasn't just a reputation in Lystra where he was from. It was a reputation in Iconium. You saw how far away Iconium was, probably 40, 50, 60 miles away. So here's what it shows us. Timothy was not just ministering in his hometown. Timothy was already going and doing ministry in the local towns around him. So it shows you that he already had this missionary heart, and you couldn't hop in a car and drive to Iconium. You walked there and you walked back. And so they spoke of him well in Iconium, which means he made many journeys to Iconium. And so he had a heart after God, a desire after God. And again, Paul's watching all this saying, man, this is a man after my own heart. He knows the Greek culture. He knows the Jewish culture. He loves the people. He's willing to travel and do missions. He's committed. He has a great testimony, and everything that needed to be there for him to be a perfect one for Paul to pick is there. And so his faithfulness opened up doors for him to be used by one of the greatest evangelists of all time, Paul the Apostle. And why do I mention that? Because I want to encourage you guys in something. You think, how could God ever use me? I'm a little nobody. I'm this and that. Whatever you think about yourself, look, all Timothy did was take what God gave him and was faithful with it, with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He was just faithful. And God said, I see you, Timothy. I see what you're doing. I'm going to now link you up with the greatest evangelist in world history and let you learn from him and travel with him. Wow. Look, I don't know what God's going to do in your life, but I will say this. If you're faithful in the small things and you give God everything, if you be like a Timothy, not one hoof left behind, or like a Moses, God says, I'll take you and I'll use you in greater ways than you ever dreamed or imagined. We can limit how much God uses us, but we can also open a door for God to use us in greater ways. And that's exactly what's happening here. And so again, Paul then verse 3 wanted him to go with him. Again, no wonder, I understand that. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Now this is an amazing verse for a number of reasons. As first of all, notice this, Paul had just made his big stand and his big fight in the council in Jerusalem that Gentiles didn't have to be circumcised and didn't have to follow the law in order to be saved. You didn't have to become a Jew is what he's saying. He just made that battle. He won that battle. He's now going, spreading that letter to all the other churches. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to be circumcised. He now runs into Timothy and says, Timothy, you have to be circumcised. What's going on? Guys, here's what's going on. He was reaching Jews and Gentiles. And because the Jews knew that his dad was a Greek, they could assume he probably wasn't circumcised. And then if they begin to ask and found out he wasn't, they're not going to listen to a word he has to say. It shuts off an entire door of an entire group to reach. Here's the point. Look, yes, we're free in Christ, but there are times when we make self-sacrifices in order to be able to reach more people for the gospel. You are free in Christ. Right now, you have certain freedoms in the Lord that you can do. And I'm not going to go down the list of different freedoms you can have. I have some freedoms that I could use in Christ, but look how this works. And I want you to meditate on this and think about it, because it's going to either catapult you in ministry or it's going to limit you in ministry. What do I mean by that? Okay, there's a certain group of people. If I live a certain way, there's a certain group of people I can reach. And if I use some of the freedoms that I can make an argument in scripture, I'm free in Christ too, and fill in the blank. If I use that freedom, I've shut off an entire region of people that I can no longer minister to, because they're not going to listen to me, because to them it's sin. To them it's wrong. To them they want nothing to do with it. And if you've got the mindset going, well, that's their problem, then that's pride. You need to deal with that first. But then once you get past the pride, you need to realize, am I willing to lay down something that I'm free to do? Not legalism, but lay down something I'm free to do in order to reach more people. He's saying, Timothy, are you willing to do something very humbly? Look, it's one thing to say to a baby, which they wouldn't know it anyway, do you want to be circumcised? They don't have a choice, right? It's another thing to say to an 18-year-old, if you're going to do ministry with me, you're going to have to be circumcised. Whoa, really? Yes, it's going to be humbling. It's going to be painful, but it's going to be something you're going to have to do if it's going to open up a door to reach the people that God wants you to reach. Are you willing to do it, Timothy? Wow. It shows you the character of Timothy. I'll do it. I'll do it. And so Timothy does this very humbling, possibly embarrassing, very humiliating in some ways, very painful, something that he chooses to do in order to be able to reach the Jewish people. And the question is, what are we willing to go through? How much are we willing to humble ourselves? What level of self-denial of our freedoms? What level of pain? What level of breaking off relationships? What level of not doing this, doing that, reading this, watching that? Not legalism. You're free in Christ. I'll fight for your freedom in Christ. But what level are you willing to give up to die to self that you might reach more people for Christ? Guys, there are things I could do that I'm free to do that would shut off ears in this room and some of you would never come back if I started doing it. I'm not going to do that. We've got to be willing to say, you know what? I'll get my freedoms in the kingdom. I'll enjoy things in heaven. Right now, I'm going to live in a way that I can reach the lost. There's freedoms that I could use right now that would cause people that come out of that background to stumble and fall right back to it. I don't want to be accountable to God for that. I don't want to claim my freedom. I want to see them grow. I want to see them set free. So all I'm saying is, God's challenging some of you, do you want to go beyond your ability of ministry where you are right now, or do you want to stay where you are? If you want to stay where you are, you're saved, you're going to go to heaven, your reward will be limited. Fine. But if you want to go beyond that and reach more people, you're going to have to make some self-sacrifice. You're going to have to deny self some. You're going to be more committed to ministry and doing things that God calls you to do and make yourself available. And so that was the challenge that God gave Timothy. And that's the challenge I believe that God is giving us today. Are we willing to do this? Now, by the way, circumcision, again, it wasn't just a religious thing. God always builds double things in. Whenever God asks people to do things, he builds double things in. One is he'll usually build in some health thing, and then he'll also build in a spiritual thing. I look at the dietary laws that the Jews would follow. We now know scientifically, looking back at the dietary laws, that it's very healthy. Again, you don't have to do it. You can if you want. The bottom line is, it's a healthier diet, and people live healthier when they eat that diet. So God not only gave them that diet, but God was also setting them apart from the world to say, you're different than everyone else. So there was a spiritual thing to it, and there was a physical thing to it, although they're free, and that we're all free in Christ even now. The same thing is true with circumcision. Now, the Jews were called to do that by the law of God. They had to do that as the Jews, but he's going to the Gentiles. What he's saying is, look, you don't have to do that, but it's the symbolism that it represents, Timothy, to the people you're going to. It symbolized cutting away the flesh, quite literally, that is, but cutting away the world, the things of the world that we'd be drawn to, cutting that away, even though it's painful, even though it hurts, willing to be able to cut that away to say, you know what, I'm going to live in the Spirit. And so it's a spiritual thing that is happening here, where it's this statement being made, I'm not going to live like the world, I'm not going to live the way the world does, I'm going to live the way God wants me to in the spiritual realm. And so this is where, again, Timothy has to make this decision, and we know that Timothy does make this decision, and he makes the right one. By the way, somebody asked me, are we supposed to circumcise our children today? Look, you're free in Christ to circumcise or not circumcise. That's not the issue. There is a health benefit to it, we know that. But at the same time, there's no legal or religious reason for that. That's something that's between you and the Lord and as a family. But what's interesting about the Greeks in that day and the Gentiles in that day, they considered it mutilation. And so that's why, no doubt, his dad wouldn't do it. You're mutilating my child. I'm not going to let you do that. Well, look, God would never ask us to do something that mutilates us. No, it's not mutilation. We know there's a health benefit now, but we also, in addition, it is simply a picture of a commitment. And I think right now in this room, God is using that very picture to say, what am I willing to cut away from my life? What pain am I willing to go through to be used in a greater way, the way that Timothy was to go with Paul and to do this ministry? And so again, just tremendous. It shows you his character. It shows you his heart. It shows you where he was coming from. And so this is the Timothy that we're looking at. And look at verse 4. It says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep. That is the letter. They're going delivering the letter. You don't have to be circumcised. Has Timothy been? Yeah, he just was. And what we're, again, willing to do whatever it took to reach the people. But you see, there's not legalism here. It's not law. It's doing whatever needs to be done to reach the people. They deliver these letters, these decrees, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches, notice this, were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. I love the way it finishes here in this last verse. Because he was faithful to the Lord, that Paul was faithful, Timothy was faithful, the church was strengthened as they traveled out and did ministry, and they increased in the Lord. Guys, is the church strengthened by us? When you come to Calvary Chapel, do we strengthen the church? Or are we just really always, you know, just basically here seeing how the church can strengthen us? Don't get me wrong. You should be strengthened. The word of God should be strengthening you. The ministry of the Spirit should be strengthening you. That's legitimate and that's a good thing and that's why you're here. You're getting fed. You should grow. The word of God feeds you and you get stronger and stronger. But at some point, that food should transform into assimilation in who you are and say, now I want to strengthen others. And that's the true disciple. That's the growth in the life. You begin to look for people you can greet. You remember when you first go to church and, wow, nobody said hi to me. My feelings are hurt, right? And then you come back and go, I'm not going to wait for somebody to say hi. I'm going to find somebody to say hi to. That's the difference in maturity. See, you begin to look at things differently. Well, I'm not here just to get ministered to. I'm here to minister. And so I'm not making an excuse for nobody saying hi to you. That didn't happen. So this is not a living example. It's just one that popped in my brain. But I know that we've seen that kind of thing happen. Oftentimes we go to church to find out what are we going to get from it. When really, as we grow in the Lord, God changes that. As we mature, we become, what can I go and how can I strengthen the church? How can I minister? How can I be a blessing to the people that are there? How can I be a blessing to the fellowship? And God begins to do a work in their hearts and in their lives, and they're used in great ways. So again, the question is, are we those people? You know, as we finish, guys, there's so many things we could talk about. Number one, I would say this, what are you willing to do? To what level are you willing to die to yourself so that God can take you to a new level of ministry? Do you have a heart of a Timothy saying, God, I'm just here for you. Not one hoof's left behind. I'm giving everything to you. And I don't know what you're calling me to do. He's not calling you to legalism. I can tell you that. He's not calling you under the law. I can tell you that. But Lord, you show me, what is it you want me to do so that I can expand my reach in reaching more people and being a minister to larger groups of people? What do you want me to do? If you do that, God's going to meet you. He's going to blow your mind. He's going to open up doors. He's going to bring you in contact with people that will disciple you and give you more open doors to do more ministry, because he's looking for hearts like Timothy that say, I'm willing to cut away the flesh. I'm willing to do even things that are painful, because the Bible says, if I'm going to follow you, Lord, I've got to deny myself, take up my cross and follow. And by the way, and I'll finish with this, it's interesting. There's a difference in salvation and discipleship. Salvation, there's no requirements other than confess your sin, believe Jesus died, and ask him to forgive you of your sin and receive what he's done for you on the cross. If you do that, the Bible says you'll be born again. If it's from the heart, you're going to be saved. Discipleship is very different. Discipleship, Jesus said this, if you want to be my disciple, notice the context, you have to deny yourself daily, take up your cross, and follow. And the question is, do we want to just be disciples? Do we want to just be believers, or do we want to be disciples? And if you want to be disciples, that's a decision you can make right now between you and God right there as we finish in prayer and say, God, I want to be a disciple. I want to give you everything. I don't want to hold anything back, whether it's painful, whether it's humbling. I don't care. I'm here and ready to serve you. And I want to pray for you that God would do that in your heart. So let's pray right now. Father, I want to thank you again. If there's anyone that doesn't know you, they've never given their life, and for the first time, God, their eyes have been opened and they realize you did really die for them, not just for the world. You died for them on the cross. You spilled your blood for them. And so from their heart right now, God, you hear their cries. And if that's you, from your heart, cry out to the Lord. Confess your sin. Ask him to forgive you based on his blood on that cross. And turn from your sin. Repent of it. Tell him, Lord, I'm going to turn from my sin and I'm going to follow you all of my days. And so, Father, you hear the hearts in this room that are praying that right now. But God, for those in this room who want to say, I've decided I want to be like Timothy. I'm not going to leave a hoof behind. Everything's given to the Lord, full throttle. And Lord, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to cut out of my life, whether it's painful, whether it's bloody, whether it's difficult, I don't care. I'm giving all to you. God hears your heart. If that's you, just pour out your heart and let him know.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching verse by verse through the book of Acts, a powerful account of how the early church was established and spread throughout the world. Acts shows us the bold faith of the apostles, the power of the Holy Spirit at work, and the unstoppable growth of God's kingdom despite opposition. Just as the early believers relied on God's strength to proclaim the gospel, we too are called to live boldly for Christ in our daily lives. Their stories remind us that no obstacle or difficulty is too great to overcome when God is leading the way. Trust that God is for you and with you as you journey in your faith. If you have any questions or prayer requests, we'd love to hear from you and pray with you. You can give us a call at 865-609-1385. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. Come to the Table is a media ministry based out of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to visit Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Feel free to check our website for service times at thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, we trust that you've been encouraged through this teaching in Acts. please make a point to join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach biblical truths and practical applications on living out the Christian faith from this inspiring book, right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.